of John. John chapter number 15 is where we're going to be this morning. And the Bible talks about getting God-giving songs in the night. And I remember it well. It was probably, what would you say, Mother, 25 years ago? 21, 25, 1991. That was a long time ago. As my children would say, way back in the 1990s. What Chloe likes to say, but I believe the Lord gave the words to that song to my mother, and she penned those words, wrote the music, and I was glad to have her here to play that this morning. First song she ever wrote, and her sister wrote the music, but she wrote the words, so it was a combo song, so I didn't know, but has written several songs, and so we're glad to have her to play that for us this morning, and very good. And God will give you deliverance. Amen. You just got to ask Him. It's all it takes. Amen. John chapter number 15. This is still in the newness of the year. Amen. Day number 8. And you made it. Isn't that lovely? And you'll continue to make it. Amen. At least Brother Don will. I'm glad. The rest of you are questionable. Well, in verse number 1, as Brother Terry read earlier, verses 1 and 2, we're going to read past that. But verse number 1, Jesus is speaking as He says, I am the true vine. Can we stop right there just for a minute and give great thanks that He is the true vine? Amen. There are some that have claimed to be, but He's the only true vine. He says, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, and ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye love me, or if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things have I heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. 187 times throughout the Scripture, the Bible talks about fruit. Fruit. Now, fruit in many cases are and can be and is a somewhat of a luxury item. It's not something that happens each and every day, although we know around the world we can, you know, in places we can grow fruit year-round and different types of things like that, and it is possible. But fruit always has a season. And when something's out of season, it costs a little bit more, doesn't it? And you'll find that prices go up and down as things come in season and out of season. And that type of thing. And so this morning, as we read through John chapter 15, these 17 verses, Jesus speaking, talking much about fruit. And as we go through the remainder of this year of 2017, I want to talk about much about the fruit that God expects us to produce in our lives. Not just in our lives as individuals and as families, but as a collective group, as a church that God has called us to, that God has placed us in, and in Him. And we're going to explore that a little bit this morning as I've entitled this message, Living in the Luxury of Fruit. We'll give you three things concerning it this morning, and we'll be finished, and then we'll continue in the coming weeks talking about fruit and the luxury of it. So let's pray together, and we'll get started. Our Heavenly Father, I come to You this morning, and I ask that You would be with us as we go through these days and weeks and months ahead, and Father, that You would just allow us to have a greater and better understanding of what it is to be fruitful in our lives. And Father, as we just read in Your Word tonight, this morning, that You expect us not just to have fruit, but Father, You expect us to have much fruit and more fruit. And Father, You expect us to have fruit that remains. And so as You have expected those things, Father, I am so grateful that You have not just told us You expect them, but You told us how we can get them and how we can have them. And as we explore that in the weeks to come, Father, may we be mindful and obeying Your Word as we move ahead and as we have the opportunities to bear fruit. May it be picked with Your honor and Your glory. And Father, may it be reproduced in the lives of others. Help us in this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now I want you to notice here in John chapter 15 as Jesus is speaking, and He begins by saying, every branch in Me, in verse number 2, as He says, every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And so I want you to mark that in your Bibles there where Jesus said, more fruit, if you're in the habit of marking in your Bibles. And then verse number 5, He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And so I want you to mark that, if you will, where He says, much fruit. And then again in verse number 8, He says, herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Much fruit. And then drop down there in verse number 16 where He says, ye have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should bring forth fruit. Mark that, bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. And so we want remaining fruit. I want you to mark that as well. In these times that Jesus is talking about and giving us this idea of fruit and bearing fruit. What is it all about? Well, in order to find out, I mentioned earlier, there's roughly 184 times that the Scripture mentions this idea of fruit. What does it mean? What is it talking about? Well, there are some principles that we have to establish first off, and to do so, we've got to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, where we see the first time that God mentions this thing of fruit. So Genesis chapter number 1, just close your Bible, hold your place there in John chapter 15, go to the front, and you should find Genesis chapter 1 pretty quickly. And Genesis chapter 1, and we see the first mentioning of the word fruit, and we see God establishing something here in a principle. He says in verse number 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. So we see this first mentioning here in creation. that God says something particular about fruit. And he says it here in verse number 11 as he says, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit. And God is establishing something here that is very, very important and vital to understanding this idea of fruit as he says, and the fruit tree yielding fruit, not just yielding fruit, but yielding fruit after his kind. Now let me just break this down for you because I know the Bible sometimes hard to understand. So let's break this down. Here's what this means. This means that an orange tree can only produce what?
Oranges.
And an apple tree can only produce apples. And a banana tree can only produce bananas. So you see the principle here that God established. So we see and understand the law of fruit. The law of fruit says that one, it was established by God that whatever fruit it is, that is what it will produce. Every fruit after his own kind. That is what God is establishing there. Fruit yields fruit after his own kind. Oranges produce oranges, apples produce apples, bananas produce bananas. Now, we have tried over time and since this time to come up with the most efficient things, don't we? I mean, we like efficient, we like efficiency, we like quick, we like fast. But isn't it amazing, as much as man has messed up, this is one law that man hasn't been able to break. Taking an orange tree and making it into a banana tree. Or how about, I mean, this would be pretty cool. You know, we like variety too, don't we? I mean, wouldn't you like to have, I mean, wouldn't it just be pretty neat, Brother Clarence, if you could take one tree that would give on maybe the north side some peaches and on the south side some oranges and maybe on the east side some apples. And the west side, somebody else pick, I don't know. Pears. All right. Wouldn't that be pretty neat, Brother Clarence? That'd be efficient, wouldn't it? I mean, somebody needs to work on that. Except that's not how it works. Because God made a law and God established something that said every fruit will produce after his own kind. And that is a law that was established. Hey, check this out. Same chapter, drop down a few verses into verse number 29. So, or starting in verse number 26. So God is making man in verse number 26. He said, let us make man in our image. Just real quick, proof that Jesus was there. Amen. You can pick that up later. That one was free. They said, let us make man in our image. Jesus had to have been there because otherwise who was God talking to when he said our image? Otherwise, anyway. After our likeness, he said, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and of the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Hey, here's another mentioning of the word fruit, but in a little bit different sense here. Fruitful. So hey, real quickly, what does man produce? What is the fruit of man? Babies. It takes man and woman together. Together, man and woman. They're fruitful and they multiply. So here we have man producing men and women after their own kind. Look at that, the idea of fruit bearing here. He says, and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish and of the sea, of the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Hold on a second, verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. It's the second law that God established. Fruit is to be consumed. We're to eat it. We're to live off of it. And then, if you'll jump over to Genesis chapter 4, we see something else, the third law of fruit. As Adam knew his wife Eve, they have children, they have Cain, they have Abel. And Abel, the Bible says, was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, in verse number 3, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. I want you to notice again, if you're in the habit of marking your Bibles, you might mark in verse number 3 where it says, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. It came to pass. That's a key there within this law that God is establishing, that fruit takes time. It just takes time to produce. And these are all laws that God has established. The first law God established was that fruit yields fruit after its own kind. The second law that God established was fruit is to be consumed. It is to be eaten. And then thirdly, God set it up that fruit would take time to yield. Now, if we come to John chapter 15, it's important that we understand these laws, because here in John chapter 15, Jesus is using fruit as an illustration of really our lives. Now, in the fruit that Jesus is talking about, and I understand that man produces men, and God calls it the fruit of the womb, and the seed of man, and the seed of woman, and all of those things. But in this particular illustration, as he says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches, and he's talking about bearing fruit, and not just bearing fruit, but more fruit, and much fruit, and he's establishing some things here. And in order to bear fruit, we have to find some lessons in the fruit. So we see the law of the fruit, and we see the lessons in the fruit. And the first lesson that Jesus gives us is that in order to bear fruit, there must be a source. There must be a source there. And he says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So in order to bear fruit, there must be a source. Now, in Psalm number 1, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he, it's talking about the blessed man, talking about the godly man, talking about the Christian man. He says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit, get this, in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So we find here in Psalm number 1, in the third verse, that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. There is a season here, but there is also a source. What is this source for the Christian? Well, one, it's Jesus. Jesus said, I am the vine. So we're abiding in Jesus. Now let me ask you something. I want you to think on this and ponder on this for a moment, because what is it, or what does it mean to be in Jesus? Now we know that when Jesus resurrected from the dead, he ascended into heaven forevermore, but I want you to remember something. In John chapter 1, we're told that Jesus was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, correct? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And today you hold, I hope, in your laps a copy of the Word of God, that liveth and abideth forever. You know, a long time after we're gone, and a long time before we got here, there was something that God had established, and that was the Word of God. And he said, it liveth and abideth forever. So a long time before we ever got here, and a long time after we're gone, if the Lord tarries, this word is going to abide forever. So if we're going to be able to abide in Jesus, I submit to you this morning that we're going to do so through the word. It is through the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the source that we have today. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks about and gives this illustration of bearing fruit. And he talks about the word being the seed. And that seed being planted in the ground. And as that seed is fertilized and as that seed grows, it produces something. It produces fruit. It is that word that was planted in our life, in our heart, that produced something new. The Bible tells us we're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And in that, we are to produce something. What are we to produce? Well, if we go back to the law that God had established, if an orange tree produces an orange, and an apple tree produces an apple, and a pear tree a pear, and a banana tree a banana, what does a Christian tree produce? Christians. But we've got to be in the source. We've got to be in the vine. I mean, if you take an apple tree and cut that limb off and set it somewhere else, it's not producing anything. And Jesus talks about that here in John chapter 15. So if you cut it off, you've got to be in the source. You see, Christ will produce Christians. And Christians will produce Christians. He said, he that heareth the word, Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, he that heareth the word, when Jesus gave that illustration, he gave that parable, and he talked about yielding, some yielded here and some yielded there, and those that were planted here and those that were planted there. And the disciples asked him, they said, what are you talking about? We don't understand what all of this means. And Jesus said, well, the seed is the word of God. And when we are established and we're getting these lessons here from the Word of God, that it is something that Christians, again, produce Christians. Why? Because that's how God established the law. And in that, we know in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30, says, the fruit of the righteous. Now, we know that when Jesus Christ saved us, He imparted to us His righteousness, therefore making us righteous. And Proverbs chapter 11 says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Hold on a second, it doesn't stop there. It says, and he that winneth souls is wise. So I don't think that is to be a coincidence that God is talking about bearing fruit and in that tree of life and in that fruitfulness of a righteous man, and then says, he that winneth souls is wise. Why? Because Christians produce Christians. Now, how does a Christian produce a Christian? He tells someone else the word. And we plant the word in someone's heart, in someone's life, and as that is worked, and just like another idea there in that, you plant the seed and you just walk away, right? It'll grow. No, it's probably going to take a little bit of work. As a matter of fact, it's probably going to take a lot of work. Because not only is there a law of fruit and are there lessons in fruit, but there's labors in fruit. There's some labor there. Brother Clarence had a good crop of fruit this year, didn't you? Weren't able to get it all either, were you? No. And then it came and it froze and lost some of it too. As a matter of fact, can I put a plug in if anybody wants to help him get some of that down? You still need some help, don't you? Can we put a plug in for you? If you can come and pick, that'll help him. He could use some help. That's a picture, isn't it? Jesus said the fields are wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few. He's only got a handful of trees. I mean, in comparison to, you know, it's not like it's acres or anything like that, but you have a good crop and it's there, but it takes work. It takes a labor to be able to come in and pick some fruit. So we have the law of fruit, we have the lessons from fruit, and we have the labors of picking the fruit. It's there. It needs help. And Jesus said, hey, I've called you to bear fruit. He said, I brought you in to bear fruit, and not just bear fruit, but much fruit and more fruit. And as we get these lessons from it, and as we understand that there are labors within this, we're kind of doing a general overview this morning. I want you to look to the book of Galatians as we look at the landscape of the fruit. What's it look like? What does this fruit look like? Isn't it amazing how you can just drive down the road and when it comes to some fruit, I mean, you drive down the road and you pass an orange grove. You pretty much know what it is, don't you? Orange is hanging all over, and you're like, hey, that's an orange grove. Pretty cool. Bananas are pretty distinguishable, aren't they? See a banana hanging in a tree? Oh, banana tree. There it is. Looks like a banana to me. Apples are pretty distinguishable. Pears, you can see. Oh, there's strawberries. Now, you can see it when it has fruit on it, right? Now, some you've got to get up a little closer to be able to see what the fruit is. You may not be able to tell from a distance, but when you get up to it, oh, that's a pecan tree. Now, if you know what a pecan tree looks like, you know what a pecan tree is. But sometimes if you don't know, I'll be honest, when we first moved down here, I'd never seen a pecan tree before. I've loved pecans my whole life and never seen a pecan tree. That's a true story. When we moved here and somebody said, oh, that's a pecan tree, I said, no. I'd never seen one of those before. But now I know. I can pick out a pecan tree from anywhere because I know what a pecan tree looks like. What's a Christian tree look like? Are there some characteristics that a Christian tree, if I can call it that just for illustration, are there some characteristics that a Christian might have in their life that you might be able to say, that's a Christian? And let me clarify that statement. I'm not talking about, oh, well, that guy has a suit on. He's a Christian. Brother Terry's a Christian today. He wore a tie. He was not a Christian last week. No. I'm not talking about the physical appearance. I'm talking about there are some characteristics, though, that come from here, not here. Okay? We'll get into the wheat and the tares another time down the road here, but today we're looking at the landscape of the fruit. Look at Galatians chapter 5. What are they? He says in verse number 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now hold on a second. The Spirit is what is reproduced in our lives. And he says, the fruit of the Spirit. And this is how we do this when we're trying to go through it. We say, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We say it real fast because that's the fruit of the Spirit. But we need to slow that down a little bit. The fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says, is love. So what's the landscape of the fruit of the Christian? Can I start by saying, number one, it's lovely. It's lovely. It's not unlovely. It's not the opposite of lovely. It's lovely. I mean, there's just something about when Rachel and I lived in Arcadia, Florida. We lived on a property that was 120 acres. It was a lot of acres there, and to the west of the property where we were at, there was a 400-acre orange grove. It's probably a good thing I don't like oranges because I would have been tempted, Bob, to help myself to some of those oranges. But I don't like them, and so therefore there was no temptation. But 400 acres, not 400 trees, 400 acres. That's a lot of oranges, Brother Clarence. They had a process in how they picked them. You ever seen a convertible bus? Never seen a convertible bus. They're actually pretty cool. They take from the driver's seat back and they cut the top off. No, I'm serious. They cut the top off and they take the seats out. You ever seen them, Terry? It's pretty spectacular. I never thought about it. It's basically, it's a school bus that's a pickup truck. You ever seen them, Justin? It's awesome, man, I'm telling you. And they put these guys in the truck, and they drive down, and they pick the fruit, and they put them in the back of the pickup truck bus. You've seen it, haven't you, Shane? It's awesome. And they just fill these things up. Lots and tons of fruit. And to watch it and to see it and to see it growing, when you're looking at it, you're like, man, that's awesome. It was lovely. Now, the labor may not have been that lovely, but to look at it and to watch it, it was like, wow, that's pretty impressive. When you see that happening there, it was lovely. The landscape of the fruit of the Christian is lovely. Hey, here's another thing. It's joyful. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. What does joy produce? Joy produces joyfulness. And so if we're going to look at the landscape here, what does it look like? Well, it's joyful. It's full of joy. You ever seen a downtrodden Christian? He's got the mully grubs. It's not lovely, and it's definitely not joyful. Man, we get that way sometimes, but that's not the fruit of the Spirit. Can I say that? When we get that way, it is not the fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit from somewhere else. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks as well. It's lovely. It's joyful. It's peaceful. Whatever happens, it's peaceful. It's tough. We'll move through these pretty quickly, but it's tough. Now, here, when I first saw this, okay, when you consider this word long-suffering, it's tough, and yet it's soft at the same time. You ever seen something like that? Something that's tough, and yet it's soft? The idea of toughness there is the long-suffering. That means, that word long-suffering means it bears the load for a long time. And it carries the burden for a long time. The suffering that is there. Oh, it does it for a long time. It's tough, but yet it's soft. It's gentle. There's a gentleness there. Then he says it's goodness. Goodness. It's going to do something. It's good. It's the fruit of the Spirit. What does it look like? Well, it's just good. When you know something that's good, and you know the difference, you just look at it and you say, oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. And you know something when you look at it and you say, oh, that's not good. Well, what's the landscape of the fruit of the Christian? It's good. Hey, here's something. This one was a little interesting to me here. Because it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. What is faith? According to Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you realize that there is a time for all fruit trees that they have no fruit? Brother Clarence had a good crop this year. We mentioned this earlier. But Brother Clarence, let's see, this is January. Back in June, did you have any idea what your crop was going to be? Not really. Last year it wasn't great, was it? Not as great as this year. So it varies from time to time. In June, you know what? You're looking at that fruit tree and you're saying, hope I have a good crop this year. There was no way to tell in June. What did it take? Faith. It was bare for a little while. But faith keeps it going. It's faith that causes you to go out in June and July and take a look at that tree and maybe snip a limb off and prune it and do all the things that are necessary that we do to trees to, as Jesus said, that we might have more fruit, that we might have much fruit. It takes faith because there's a season that the tree is bare. And then, lo and behold, oh, there's fruit. And some years are better than other years, and some years are worse than other years, and it just varies, and that's why faith is a fruit of the Spirit. What's it look like? Well, it has meekness. It's a meek tree. It's not something that's proud or boastful, but meek. Temperance. Temperance, again, that idea that it's going to take time. Something else that we have not been able to figure out, and that's an instant tree. Plant that seed, and 3 days you got fruit. No, it doesn't work like that. That's why it takes temperament to be able to wait. To wait this thing out. Look what he says here in verse number 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. What's the landscape of the fruit? Well, it looks like something. It is distinguishable in its loveliness, in its joyfulness, in its peacefulness, in its toughness, in its softness, in its goodness, in its, if I can say, faithness, if I can say it like that, in its meekness, in its temperance. You see, it has a landscape. It has something that when we know we're bearing the fruit of Christ, this is what it looks like. And that look, again, comes from here. It comes from being in Christ. Notice, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Because what is inside does affect what we do on the outside. Oh, yes. Go back to John chapter 15. We're going to bring this thing to a close. Jesus said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. More fruit. If I can use this as an illustration as we close, I'm going to ask Brother Scott to come here. I need you, Scott Hopkins. He's looking like, really? He's not done this too much. It's usually Brother Terry, but Brother Terry gets mad at me, so... All right, so here's Brother Scott. He's been on our tree. He's hanging around. But he's leaving tomorrow. Now, I want to illustrate it like this as we close. Remember, Jesus said he pruneth it. Because there is a process of fruitfulness that is called grafting. You ever grafted a tree, Brother Clarence? Many times, I'm sure. Okay, a few times. Has it worked? Okay. Now, if I understand the process, I've studied a little bit. I've never done it myself. But I think I understand the process. That is when you cut off a limb. This is our limb. It's a healthy limb. You never cut off a dead limb to graft it in, correct? No. You got to cut off a healthy limb to put it into another tree to help that tree bear more fruit. Did you know that's what we were doing? Hadn't thought about it, had you? All right. So you say, oh, now, they say, Brother Clarence, help me here. They say, I don't know how much truth this is, that trees have feelings. Is that true? I'm taking your word for it, because I got it off the internet, so questionable. But they say trees have feelings, okay? You cut a limb off, it's going to hurt. If you're a tree and it has feelings, and if trees have feelings, you cut that limb off, that tree's going to go, ooh. All right, now, we understand Jesus has given an illustration here that we're bearing fruit. And we're like a tree, and sometimes a tree gets pruned. And so what we're doing in this process is we're pruning this healthy limb to place it, I'm going to put you in Minnesota, to place it in another tree that is bearing fruit that needs help. And so we're going to put him here, over there, and we're going to stay over here where it's warm. It's not today, but it's warmer than it is there. We're going to stay over here. Now that leaves our tree bare. But did you notice what Jesus said? Now, while this hurts, while it is uncomfortable, while it may not be what we would do, but remember something here. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, but who is the husbandman? And what is that idea of the husbandman? He owns the place. That means when the husbandman says, take that limb, cut it off, and put it over there, you know what we do? For the health of the tree, you cut it off and you put it over there and you graft it in so that that tree might bear more fruit and much fruit. But it's also for the health of this tree that we do God's will. Everybody with me? You see, we're to bear fruit. The purpose in all of this is to bear fruit. Now, here's the neat thing to me. That we can take part of a tree here and cut it off and move it all the way over here and graft it in and tape it up. You didn't know you're going to be taped up a little bit.
It's not the first time.
It's not the first time. So that this tree can bear fruit. Now here's the cool thing to me, is that we can have from over here, we can have fruit here, and we can have fruit there. Isn't that cool how God worked that out in part of His law? Now I'll tell you, while I've read about it, while I know people that have done it, I really don't understand the grafting process. But I know this, it works. It works. And that's what we're doing. When we started this process, it was, you know, was and is, and sometimes at points it's like, oh. But yeah, we're not the husbandman. We're not the owner of that branch. God is. And when God says, I need this branch over here, you say, okay. Everybody with me? Everybody with Him? Amen. So we can bear more fruit and much fruit. Now we are requiring you to go to Minnesota to bear fruit. Not be lazy. Not get cut off completely. To bear fruit. Amen? Amen. You can sit down. Thank you. So I want you to be back tonight as He comes. One more time, to bring the Word of God. And I want you to think about and picture, okay, now it makes sense. Because we're grafting. We're not, God is, the husbandman is. Because He's the one that does it. We just have to be yielded to say, okay. Every head bowed, every eye closed. See, I'm just one branch. Is there fruit on you? Is there fruit on your branch? That there might be much fruit. To have much fruit, we must be in the vine. Jesus is that vine. The Word of God is the vine. What are you producing? I hope you're producing after your own kind.